This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I need to shout. Dying, screaming, crying, and let me out. Are all those feelings?
We are back, broadcasting live from Schnucks, St. Charles Rock Road. We've had some lovely parfaits here with it's like yogurt and granola and fresh fruit. Really good stuff. Martin, we put together a list of the five greatest goals in blues history. I don't know if you were listening earlier.
I did hear the quiz, and Strick was kind of giving a passionate defense of the Troy Brower goal, which I think of as one of the great goals. I think the only thing that hurts that goal in terms of longevity is that when it happened, it was about mid-third period, maybe 10 minutes or so go.
Right.
The rest of these are double overtime and end game.
Yeah, I was expecting to hear that Troy Brower was hopping on Hockey Sense today after he had a passionate defense of that one
because it was the Blackhawks and it was a Game 7 at home. It's way up there. But I think cutting into it is that it was a first-round series and that it was mid-third period. It was still great and exciting, and it's still – worth replacing on Frank's Open because then Hoff would have to redo the Open.
Yep.
But
eventually we're going to have
to. You going to do Pat Maroon?
Unless there's a bigger one, it'll be Maroon.
How about a Pat Maroon?
Yeah, oh, that's smart.
Goal.
You should wait.
Unless there's a bigger one in the near future. Yeah.
He's like Craig Berube over here. He's waiting to cut the deal. He's like, hold on, we're not done yet. No
maybe,
deal's being
cut. Vlad scores a game winner against San Jose in Game 7. That sends him to the Cup.
You should put Maroon in there.
It's all about doing less work.
David,
I got to wait
till
there's one for sure that I could put in there.
And maybe a Frank bucket to make it an all St. Louis. And it might even be a rammer call on the Frank bucket.
Yeah, we'll get Joe May on the broadcast from WIBV. Are you familiar with his work?
I am not. Did he call DeSmet?
Hey, well, he called all the games on the east side. It's a 1260, I think.
1260 was WIBV.
And I'm telling you, any like big Belleville West or East St. Louis game, he would be on the call. He used to do Joe Young's football games. So one time we were playing in the Belleville East tournament. We'd go over there, and my dad couldn't make it because he had to work at the restaurant. So he was up in the office listening on WIBV, and he wrote on the chalkboard anytime Joe May would say anything nice about me. And one time he said, the crafty little point guard. And
so, boy. So, that's what they say about, like, the white guard at Dartmouth or something like that.
You were Aaron Miles before Aaron Miles.
So Joe Young, anytime I see him, he says, that crafty little point guard.
Oh, when they're doing the NCAA tournament show, and there's, like, a 14 seed out of the middle of Idaho, they all say they got the crafty guards.
That's right. Yeah. Anytime they say heady, that means not athletic.
Right. Gutsy. Yeah. Even Chris Long was the second overall pick. And they would say, well, he's just got one of those high motors.
Yeah, that's a bad
sign. He better be really special and athletic. He's the second overall pick. You don't get to say that about the second overall pick, that he's got a high motor.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
To be fair, some of their other second round or second overall picks didn't have a high motor.
Shot at Brian Leonard there.
Maybe, or you're talking about Jason Smith.
Jason Smith didn't really have a high motor.
Was Greg Robinson number two overall?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the odd thing. Two tackles
Jason
were both
Smith,
bust. Although
Greg
Robinson's found a little bit of a home here.
I think
Cleveland.
He's playing a guard, right?
Yeah.
So he was just miscast by the Rams.
Yeah.
Which has been known to happen.
I like this text, by the way. Did I just hear San Jose Sharks fans as passionate as opposed to rude, vulgar, despicable? That's what they truly are. I've had family that have been there at San Jose. They are Raider fans, ex-cons, drug dealers, gangbangers, lowest of low, 92% should be incarcerated for life, Jesus.
Yikes.
That's the Bo Weevil of Beaville Mill. Nice work. It's true.
I didn't remember it quite to that level, but I think in the parking lot walking in, it wasn't quite the wine and cheese 49ers crowd. And Jimmy, you've been in there, and I talked about the crowd noise. I'm telling you, that Game 7 the other night, they were pumping in noise.
I told
because
you.
Because everybody was sitting on their hands nervous, and the place was, like, humming with crowd. Woo! And I was looking. I'm like, nobody's cheering, but there's noise.
You can tell when it happens.
Yeah.
I told you, I don't blame them for doing it.
But like, it's a weird building. Don't you think it's intimate, kind of claustrophobic?
It is.
It's not a true circle.
Yeah. No.
It has sort of sections that cut in and cut out. It's not a classic circular arena, which I think adds to the claustrophobic feel of that building.
That's a good call. And they didn't really design it for a press box and so forth. I mean, they're made
not at all
kind of a makeshift deal.
It feels like a convention center that they turned into a hockey rink or something along the way.
In fact, the last time we were there, Doug and I were walking up the press box at the same time, and we see his thing. It says Doug Vaughn, and somebody had put free dotum on it.
Wow. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And it wasn't me.
All right, so if you do put Brouwer in, do you take out Ron Schock, who led them to their first Stanley Cup? Do you take out the Monday Night Miracle? Do you take out Maroon? Or do you take out Mike Crombie?
I think Turgeon.
Oh, Turgeon.
I think he can come out of the top five, even though it was a Game 7 overtime on the road. Something about Brouwer, because it was the Blackhawks in a Game 7.
Wait, what round was the Turgeon goal?
That was second?
No,
that was first. That was first.
But it was a Game 7 in overtime.
Yeah.
On the road, yes.
That was pretty big. You know why it's not as popular, I think, with some? It's because it happened so late, too.
It was late, and you don't remember.
Yeah, it was almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you and I were the only ones watching. We were there.
It ricocheted off his skates, correct?
I believe so.
So it's not as classic of goal, which is taking nothing away from him. I don't. Maybe it's theater of the moment because it's recent, but the Brouwer goal seems bigger to me. And that team did make a bit of a run, at least getting to the conference final. The 99 team lost to the Stars in that next round, I believe.
Yes.
It's a great argument. Dan O'Neill, in his sarcastic tone via text, which you can't always tell, the other day, told me the Ron Schock goal, which got him to the Stanley Cup finals. He goes, that seems a little bit bigger. Maybe it's just me. Because they did,
definitely sarcastic.
It's pretty
there.
Big goal.
Because they did get to the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, Five for Frank, brought to you each day by Greenville University. More information online at greenville.edu.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, you are Dabo Swinney. Are you a Cardinal fan? A Cubs fan? A Brewers fan. I thought he was buddies with Mike Schilt.
He's a college coach, therefore his allegiances switch on a whim.
It appeared he's making the rounds. He was at Miller Park the other night, throughout the first pitch, so they upped their game. He was simply hanging at Bush at Miller. They let him throw out the
green seats, and he got a fist bump with Carpenter.
But he didn't get to do the first pitch, and now he's at the Cubs game taking pictures with Joe Maddon. Are you Dabo Swinney? Are you going to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati? Are you completing the Central tour?
I'm only going to the contenders. I'll stop it there.
I have a feeling he's not going to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Anybody enjoying life and more like outgoing and effervescent than this guy? I mean, let's face it. Before the national championship game started, we thought the college football world is Nick Saban's and everybody is living in it. It's his world. And now, I'm telling you, it's this guy's world. He's younger. He's got the national championship. This guy's...
Any part of you doing this for recruiting just to be seen in all these different
absolutely,
places?
Absolutely, yes.
In case there's a Cub fan be a five-star tackle out in the Chicago area, maybe a big lineman in Wisconsin that likes the Brewers, St. Louis kids get to see him. And if you read that story, there's a small island off of Florida where he and Nick Saban both hang out in the offseason. Some really small island.
Captiva?
No, I think it's called Grand Isle or something. There's a story about it that on the 4th of July last year, they're having a little parade in the little island, and they said, if you look to your left, you'd see Dabo Swinney hanging with his family. If you look to your right, you'd see Nick Saban, and apparently they leave everybody alone. But in all of the places, Sweeney and Nick Saban hang out at the same island.
I can't picture Nick Saban like...
at a 4th of July parade.
Yeah, vacationing or doing anything.
With a smile on his face.
Waving a little American flag.
Yeah.
Setting off fireworks.
Boca Grande.
Boca Grande.
Boca Grande is the name of the island.
Boca Grande. We'll be there next week.
Okay, cool. Sell our mill for Nick Saban's house. Izzy's house, Nick Saban's house, Kirk Reeder's shed.
It's the shed. All right, Frank, true or false, Paul DeJong is going to end up in the Gold Glove conversation.
Absolutely. All right, what about defensive zone rating there, or wins above replacement defensively? Yeah, and his offense is going to help the argument, just like Sandberg would always win it every year for Tommy Herr.
Marcell Ozuna won a Gold Glove because he was a good bat.
I mean, he made two just great plays last night that nobody's talking about because they scored 17
plus runs. Four. He was plus 14 last year. He's solid defensively. Yeah.
I feel like he's taken it up a notch. And last year he got injured, and so it wasn't a sophomore slump, but he didn't have the buzz he had when he was a rookie. It feels like he's taken his game to the next level this year and not getting a lot of attention.
I asked him why are the strikeouts down and the walks up. And he said, I've made my swing more fundamentally sound. That's what his point
you can tell is. He's the former scientific pre-med, whatever his field was, that he's got that academic approach to baseball.
You know, you think about it, that deal he signed by 25, was it 25 million or something like that? It seemed like a lot of money. He may end up being underpaid here. Yeah.
But you still, you hedge your bet. You're like,
you
got to
take it.
I still got 25 million. All right, you are Eli Hides. You're a law student in Detroit. You got the Pujols ball. Why didn't you give it back? Did you read anything about this guy?
I have not.
They said they pressured him a little bit, and I think it turned him off. The ball landed in the less-than-packed Comerica Park. There were about five people at this game.
Yeah.
And I wondered who's going to end up with the historic 2,000 RBI ball from Pujols. But how can you prove it's – I mean, there was nobody in that section even. 33-year-old law student, lives in Detroit. He secured the ball.
So did they offer him anything in return?
Yes. They said stadium security got involved. Officials from both teams bargained with him to get the ball. Because I think Pujols has said this is his favorite milestone.
2,000?
The 2,000 RBI.
Really?
That it's. Okay. I think Bob Nightingale even tweeted, Pujols considers this.
Where is he at home run-wise now? He's at?
Six what?
A little over 600.
Low sixes? 630.
So he probably won't get to 700.
He's at 639.
Oh, 630. More
stadium security was involved. Officials from both teams bargained with him to get the ball for the player of note. In this instance, Hides wanted no part of it. In the end, he resisted all entreaties, whatever they offered, kept the ball either to give it to his brother or to his son, who will be born soon.
I don't even buy the sentimental way. That's just stupid. Well, what good is
his
a
kid's
ball
not
gonna
going to care about that ball?
No. Oh, I'm living in Detroit. I got Albert Pujols' ball for
right.
the Angels.
All right, now the problem.
Get season tickets out of it or something.
The problem, according to Hides, Eli Hides and his friends, was that the team representatives, including the Tigers' head of security, made a hard sell from the beginning, putting pressure on him. Among the interactions, they informed him, per MLB policy, because the ball was hit into the seats, because of the chain of custody concerns, it won't be officially authenticated. In other words, okay, now that you, I would say, well, if it can't be authenticated, why do you want it so bad?
It
sounds like they tried to strong arm him a little bit, and that kind of turned him off. I would like to know. I need to know what was the offer.
Yeah, would was a reasonable offer be maybe like tickets to 10 games?
And what's the
five
value?
Grand, Frank.
Five grand. What's the value of the ball?
Yeah, I'd rather have $5,000 than tickets to watch the Tigers play.
Yeah. It appears you can get seats pretty easily up there. It was alarming how few people were at that game. I mean, the ball landed. I don't think anybody touched it for quite a while.
Who was our guy that caught Pujols' ball?
Tim Fornaris? Oh, no.
No,
not,
he
not
was the gracious
McGuire.
One.
I'm sorry.
Caught home run ball number 70.
Oh, McFarland. No, or
no, that's the guy tried
Phil Kozerski. No.
Kozerski, yeah.
Phil Ozerski. Phil Ozerski, who sold it to McFarland, the
yes.
collector.
And he did this the absolute smartest thing. He got it when he got out when it was hot. It was like, I think he got $3 million for
yep.
it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And ever, at the time, I'm sure there were, oh, got to give it to Big Mac. We love Big Mac. Screw that.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. When we were doing our hour-long special McGuire, like last year's midseason, I called him up. I said, we'd like you to be a part of the special. And he kind of politely declined, saying, well, they're working on a documentary, and I'd have to talk with them first. What?
Does he still work at Wash U?
Yeah, he's a lab assistant or something. He's worth $3 million.
I don't blame him for doing that. And I think the market, I don't know it real well, but hasn't it all softened a little bit
in
terms of memorabilia?
Well, especially the McGuire ball because of the steroid revelations.
Yep. All right, Frank, you are a Las Vegas hockey fan. Golden Knights are your team. How badly do you want the Blues to beat the Sharks? How much does this mean to you as a Vegas fan that feels you got screwed?
Oh, I'd definitely like to see the Blues win.
You want David Perron to get back to the Stanley Cup if you're
an emotional
Knight
fan.
Yeah.
You think they even care?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not that much? That feels like a no. All right, Frank, who's your pick to click since we won't be on the air on Saturday? Game one is Saturday night. We'll be talking before game two, but what about you? Got a vibe?
All right, it's been a while.
We've been kind of cold lately, I have to say, right?
Oh, maroon.
Can we all call in?
I would think that Vladimir Tarasenko, to open up a series, would like to establish his greatness right away.
He's got to be your best player if you're going to win.
And I think we've played this card before. And my sources, my staff, I had heard that O'Reilly might have been injured, and then There's a little pushback on that. I'm going to say O'Reilly gets off the schneid.
That would be great to see.
Any, Jimmy, you got a click, pick to click.
I think it's time for Alex Steen to be
noticed.
I
would agree with that.
Line guy,
I don't know that it will happen.
I know. He's got to do something here soon. He's been quiet.
Hoff, do you got a pick to click?
I want to say Vlad, but I guess since Frank took it, you know what? I'll take Binnington.
Pick to click.
Maybe he's the
Maybe
guy.
Maybe he wins the game.
Maybe
for
he
him.
Wins the
50
game.
50 saves
you.
And yeah. Blues win.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go Jordan.
That's a good bet. All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. Frank, at this point, who's your team that will win the NBA championship? The Larry O'Brien. Not who you want, but who do you think will win it all?
I'll still stay the Warriors. I think they'll find a way to win game 7 in advance and maybe Kevin Durant gets back, and then they are the best.
I wonder how tilted the odds are. I mean, I'm sure Golden State's the favorite. Milwaukee, after what they did to Boston.
Wouldn't Houston be the favorite tonight? Let's just look at those odds tonight. Houston has to be without Durant.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be the favorite to win tonight, even if Durant were healthy.
Just being at home?
Yeah.
I mean, Toronto, Philly, nobody sees them winning at all, right?
No.
Bucks
I think Milwaukee favorites. Would be.
Houston is favored by 6 tonight. Yeah. 6 or 7, depending on where you look.
Boy, we could have 3 game 7s on Sunday.
They would all be on Sunday?
Yeah.
Warriors are still the odds on favorite to win the NBA Finals, 5-4. Bucks are 2-1. The Bucks got a legit shot, I think.
Yeah, but 5-4, it's like it's almost just accepted that Golden State's going to win.
Somebody arguing for Turgeon. Turgeon's was a beautiful deflection. He deflected a wrister past Hobby Boulin. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great argument. It doesn't mean anything, but it's fun to talk about. And you and I were there. It was thrilling. How late into the OT?
Oh, it was so late.
I mean, it was late at night for us. I know that. And Strick mentioned it was Rickard Pearson with the shot. Because I think Ken Wilson's call that we played, he thought Pearson scored at first, I believe.
That sounds right, yeah.
All right, 5 for Frank every day, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Greenville University. We're at the Schnucks at 9070 St. Charles Rock Road, right next to Rittner High School. And this particular Schnucks offering a wide array of beautiful floral arrangements. You can also get the balloons for Mom. Sunday is Mother's Day. Get a dozen roses, a bouquet of roses for $19.88. How about that? $19.88. 8 vibrant colors to choose from. Signature bouquet. All sorts of great floral options. It's not too late to get that done for Mom. Remember that. You can also check out the hanging baskets if Mom's into gardening. All of that right here at your neighborhood Schnucks. Happy Mother's Day from your local St. John's Schnucks store.
And speaking of moms, my mom's at the Gatesworth. They're a great sponsor here. 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place. The answer always is yes when you call down to the front desk. The food is outstanding. The activities are great. They take great care of my mom. They'll take great care of your loved ones also at the Gatesworth. And Maryville University sponsors the phone lines, continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. I was just distracted by those chocolates.
We're loading up on sugar today, Frank.
Wow.
No, we were eating healthy. We got a little yogurt, and then all of it.
I guess this is a cheat day.
Frank, because there's strawberries associated with it, this is all health food. This is all low-cal.
Oh, yeah, the strawberries. That's good for you. Yeah. Smothered in whipped cream over there. So, Maryville.edu, one of our great sponsors. We'll be right back.